The last several weeks, we've been discussing the descriptions of Christians in the Bible. And this week, we're going to be discussing the description of priest. I know that may sound something that I think we don't often think about how we are priests and how that applies to us. But we're going to talk a little bit about that today. If you will, bow with me and we'll begin with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you humbly, recognizing that you are our provider and our Father and our Creator. Father, we know that it is you who sustains us and gives us life. We're grateful, Father, for this time that we have to gather together as one, those of like faith and like mind, that we can study your word, that we can glean from your truth the things that are pleasing to you, the things that are obedient, that we might be able to serve you in a way that you have asked us to serve you, Father. We pray that you'll be with those that are not able to be here. We pray that you'll help them to be able to return and be with us once again. We ask that you'll be with all of those who are in classes studying as well, that they might be able to learn those things that are being taught. Open our hearts up, Father, and our minds, that we might be able to retain these things and to apply them out in our everyday lives, that we might be able to honor you and serve you in all that we do. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So we've talked about a lot of different things. We've talked about being a new creation, right? We've talked about, what was the next thing? About being a saint, about being sanctified, about being a child of God, disciples, soldiers, and now we're on to priest. And I think it's interesting as we look at some of these descriptions, we can identify with all of those. Being a new creation, we can identify with being sanctified in some way. But I think sometimes we have a hard time identifying with being priest. So let's look initially at really how the Bible describes us as being priest. Hopefully everybody was able to look up all of these verses. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how Christians are described. What did you guys come up with these verses that were given? How were we described in these two passages? Pretty plain, pretty easy. Living stones. Okay. Sister Ash?
Kings and priests.
Kings and priests. Okay. A holy nation. Okay, we're going to talk about that here in a little bit as well. A holy nation, keep that in mind. A special people. Okay, we're going to talk about that as well. Anything else? Priest of God in Christ. I think it's important that those are added. We're not just priests, but we're priest of God in Christ. Okay, anything else? Priest to God and our Father, priest of God. It's important that we recognize that we are priest of God, no one else. Priest of God. So, I started looking at this outline and it didn't fit the order right for me. My brain sometimes works a little bit differently, and I started thinking about how this order plans out. And the next section really talks about what sacrifices that Christians offer, and then Jesus about our high priest. And it kind of stagnated my thought process, and I had to go back and kind of redo some of this in my brain. But let's talk a little bit about priest. Most of us are familiar with priests in the Old Testament. What were the priests, what was the intention of having a priest in the Old Testament? What did they do? What was their job function?
They kind of mediated between the people and God. They offered their sacrifices for them on the altars.
Okay. So exactly right. They were the ones that were specifically designated to offer the sacrifices for the people. They were the mediator between God and the people in a lot of ways. What tribe were the priests from?
Levi.
Okay. And so they were, Matt, I'm sorry, I keep moving around. They were from the tribe of Levi, and they were designated from the tribe of Levi. Why?
No, we just don't think about it enough, do we?
Why were they from the tribe of Levi? They were chosen. That's what God decided. God said, you are going to be my priest. Aaron, obviously, was the high priest, right? Remember that? That was who God designated. There had to be someone. What area of land did they get? Do you remember, was it in the north, the middle, the south? What area of land did the Levites get?
They didn't get any.
So they were designated to be in the temple. They were really scattered abroad, weren't they? But why were they not given that inheritance as the other tribes were? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that? Go to Numbers 18 with me. Numbers 18. Numbers 18 talks a little bit about kind of the duties of the priests and the Levites and all the things that they had to do. And in verse 18 of chapter 18, it says, "But their flesh shall be yours as the breast that is waved, and as the right thighs are yours." Talking about the sacrifices that they give. They were able to partake of some of that meat, okay? In verse 19, "All the holy contributions that the people of Israel present to the Lord, I give to you and to your sons and daughters with you as a perpetual due." So they were being taken care of. God was allowing them to be taken care of by the people. But in the end of verse 19, it says, "It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord for you and for your offspring with you. And the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land." What a downer. We don't get anything. He says, continuing here, he says, "Neither you shall have any portion among them." Kind of disheartening, isn't it? But then the Lord says, "I am your portion and your inheritance among the people." I think there's some significance there as we kind of prepare our perspective about what priests are. And who priests are. The priests really were designated to do a different work, weren't they? It wasn't so much physical. It wasn't about them gaining land. It wasn't about them doing things from a physical and fleshly standpoint. What was their inheritance? Their inheritance was spiritual, wasn't it? Their inheritance was totally different than the rest of the different tribes. So a different perspective for us as well. I think a lot of times we can't identify with priests because they did such a spiritual work. And so too for us, why have we been designated as priests in the new covenant? Have you ever thought about that?
We are,
obviously, we've been called as priests, but why has God said, You are priests. I'm going to make you priest. I'm going to make you priest and kings. You're a holy nation, a special people. Why designate us as priests?
We take care of his building. We take care of the preaching. We praise his name. We're a separate holy people.
We are.
And the work that is being done, that needs to be done, all of those things. Yes, sir?
I was going to comment that Christ is our king, and Christ is our high priest, and we are joint heirs with Christ, according to Romans 8, chapter and verse 17.
And the kingdom that Christ came to set up, was it a physical kingdom? It was a spiritual kingdom. I couldn't make the connection until I made that one. Why have we been designated as priests? We've been designated as priests over a spiritual kingdom, right? The work that we are going to be doing as priests is spiritual. It's not necessarily physical. It's all going to be spiritual. Brother Noble?
Priests, we can't thank them as appreciating and the sacrifices and all the things that were done there, but all of the work, the temple work, was carried out by, it was passed from father to son. So there were priests that gathered wood for sacrifices. Mm-hmm. It was brought into the temple. There was a storeroom where they stored it. There were priests there that inspected the wood.
And do it in the same way that they did. They had to give the best, didn't they? Everything that was done had to be the best of what was able to be offered.
Isaiah 61:6. But you will be called a priest of the Lord, and you will be spoken of as minister of God. And this royal priesthood, the chosen as Christians, we're known for being those who spread God's word, those are the examples of Christ.
So read that verse again, Isaiah 61:6, correct?
But if you be called a priest of the Lord, you will be spoken of as ministers of God.
Okay. So thank you for making my next point in my notes for me. Exactly the same verse I had down. Why have we been designated as priests? The priests were there, as it says in Isaiah, to minister to God, to minister to the people. So what does that do for us? How does that change our relationship with God? We've talked about being new creations, we've talked about being sanctified, we've talked about being children of God. To me, as I think about all of those different descriptions, they all describe different relationships that we have with God, don't they? Different relationships that we have with each other. And so how does this affect our relationship with God? As far as our being priest.
Let's take that lightly as who we are as Christians. Well, I'm a Christian.
That's right.
And we hear that term loosely in our society today, but it's an honor and it's a responsibility and it's something that we have to do for God and his messenger is being part of his priesthood. It's a duty. And it's something that we have to be.
So what does it mean to minister?
To the community, yeah. Be the light of the world.
And I think that's only part of it. That's a significant part of it. We have to be the light of the world. We have to be those that are representing God and representing Christ. And that's a lot of times that's what the priests did, didn't they? They represented God to the people in a lot of ways. Yes, sir.
They were set apart. They were consecrated, the priests under the old law.
That's right.
And they... it's just like we today, when we become Christians, we are set apart to do the work that God has set forth for his people.
That's right.
First, the high priest had to be sanctified and cleansed. And if you go back and look in Exodus, and hopefully maybe some of you read that, Aaron was cleansed and he was sanctified first. And then he, being sanctified, went through the process of sanctifying the other priest. And so we see that as foreshadowing of now who is our high priest? Jesus. Would you say that Jesus is appropriate to be our high priest? Wow, we could spend a couple of weeks on why Jesus is appropriate to be our high priest, couldn't we? There's a couple of questions here in our book that go to Hebrews, don't they? And we could spend all class period talking about Jesus as our high priest, why he's the better high priest. A couple of verses here about our high priest and Jesus as our high priest. What is it about Jesus in those verses in Hebrews? Why is he such a great high priest?
Shed his blood.
He shed his blood for us?
Okay. What else? Why is he such a great high priest?
Well, he went through what we went through. I mean, he suffered the same sins that we do, but he was without sin.
He was pure, but yet he understood. He understood exactly what we're going through.
The high priest spoke to God on the people's behalf, and Jesus is the Son of God and is God. So what better person to advocate on our behalf?
Yeah, he came to the earth, right? He understood. He lived as a man, and yet without sin, was tempted just as we are. And so he can sympathize with us with our weakness. And he can convey and be that in-between, right? That go-between between us and God. How is it that Jesus is able to be our high priest? Because he wasn't a Levite, was he? No. What tribe was Jesus from? Judah. Okay. So how is it that Jesus is able to be our high priest if he wasn't a Levite?
He's not a priest after the Levitical priesthood.
Okay. So, if Jesus isn't a priest after the Levitical priesthood, and he's supposed to be our high priest, we can't be priest after the Levitical priesthood either, can we?
The Levitical priesthood had to make offerings over and over again. Mm-hmm. Christ made the perfect offering one time, and he's not to make it again.
And I think the important thing that we have to think about, so I'm going to get back to that here in just a second. How is Jesus our high priest? After what order? The order of Melchizedek. I think we all understand that. Yes, ma'am.
King and priest.
In Hebrews 7 in verse 21, Christ was made priest with an oath from God.
Mm-hmm. He was designated, wasn't he? Just as Melchizedek was designated priest and king, Jesus was designated, and because of that change in the priesthood, as Joe mentioned, there was a change in the covenant as well. If you go to a Jewish synagogue now, you'll find there aren't any priests. They're just rabbis, teachers. That's because the ordinances and all of the designations that were there as far as their ancestry that had to be tracked to make sure that it's all gone. They can't track that anymore. And so there is no Levitical priesthood anymore. It's gone. Now we have a different priesthood through Jesus as our high priest. And the same as Melchizedek, what do we know about him?
Very little.
He's mentioned twice, right? And yet we know who his ancestry was, right? We know who his mother and father were. We know where he came. No? When did he die? We don't know.
What counts?
And that's what counts. Jenny?
Sorry, I lost it.
He was appointed by God the same as Jesus, after that same order of Melchizedek. And so you remembered, okay.
Yeah, y'all will be old one of these days. Okay, he was, I'm sorry.
I'm getting there, Jesus. So I've had those times. We understand that Jesus, under that order of Melchizedek, he was appointed by God. He was put in place for that very purpose. And so, to sanctify himself, to make himself worthy of being that high priest, and to be that intermediary for us and God, instead of having to do like the old Levitical priesthood did, he went and offered that sin offering once. Just as we mentioned a few minutes ago, he offered that sin offering once. And it wasn't of the blood of bulls and goats. It was of his own blood. Pure, holy, sanctified blood. And so he now, after doing that, is able to offer that redemption to everyone, being high priest. So now he can be high priest permanently, right? Why can he be high priest permanently? What was the difference between the Levitical priesthood? When did their priesthood end? When they died. What about Jesus? He died, right? He still lives. He still lives. And so now he can be the permanent priest, high priest for us, ever making intercession for us. and so he is always fitting and perfect. So now we can get back to some of the questions at the top. What does it mean to minister? What are some of the duties that the Levitical priest did? Obviously, they offered sacrifices, but what were some of those sacrifices for? Sin? The sins of the people? It's kind of the main thing that they offered those sacrifices for. Sometimes it was just be obedient to God, to be thankful. There were all different kinds of offerings, weren't they? You had food offerings and grain offerings, and obviously there were animals that were brought. Some of it was, yes, a sin offering. If they sinned, they had to bring an offering there. One time in that year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and do what? Offer a sacrifice for himself, and then one for the people to roll the sins forward. And so lots of sacrifices. You can imagine the blood continually flowing, right? And the work that continually was having to be done by these priests, right? Did it ever stop for them? Really, it didn't. If they were properly doing their job as priests, their sacrifices that they were offering never really stopped. So what sacrifices do we offer as Christians?
Our lives.
Our lives?
That's what it should be. Totally.
Talks about that in Romans, right? Prayer. Which verse was that in? Hebrews? And in Revelation as well, it talks about prayer. The praise of our lips. Right, so lots of different things that we offer to God, and I think it's important to understand as we kind of compare the two, the Levitical priesthood and our priesthood under this new covenant. How often does this stop for us, as far as giving sacrifices and ministering in this way? I hope it doesn't stop at all. Hopefully it's the same way as with the Levitical priesthood. Okay, so how do we minister and serve as priests? I think this is probably the most important part for me. I hope, laid down the idea that we are priests. We've been designated as priests. This is a pretty important designation because we have an important role. The Levitical priest, they were, as we mentioned, the representatives for the people to God. So what about us? How do we minister and serve as priests?
Our bodies a living sacrifice, and that's obeying God's will daily.
Okay. And I think, you know, if we kind of compare that to the old covenant, didn't they do the same thing? They had to constantly consecrate themselves, and they were always making sure that they were pure, because they were always having to approach God, weren't they? And the same idea for us, especially in that first section there, that's one of the things that we have to do. Yes, ma'am.
God has no hands but our hands.
Yes.
And, you know, we are to see to the spiritual needs of each other, or the physical needs, as well as being evangelistic toward others.
You know, the research I did on ministering, it was pretty telling for me. I think sometimes we think ministering is this little compartment and it's just spreading the gospel. But it's not. There's so much more to service in that way. How often do we think about, you know, Chris is our minister. We'll leave that work to him. The ministering work can be left up to him and to the elders, and I'll just continue to go along being a Christian. Well, being a Christian means that I'm a priest. It means that I'm designated and being told to minister as well. I think we lose sight of that sometimes as far as the role that we've been given and our relationship with God as well. Yes, sir?
We all teach, sometimes stand before people, but our examples also teach. And I think it was interesting that the Levites had the tithe. They had to pay 10% of all that tithe that came into them. We support it. We also do, we give too. But it's a teaching program and representative of God, of Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right.
We are designated representatives of Jesus, of the gospel. Do we live that way? I don't know that we always do, but we should be trying to live in that way. What about the passage in Leviticus 10? I wrote down strict obedience, and then in 1 Peter as well. What was that about? You remember in Leviticus where it...
fire before God, and God was not pleased, and he struck him dead. And that points to us. If we fall away from the faith and we don't repent and go back to God, he's going to drop us.
Lately I've been working on my relationship with God. Just something that I've been working on lately. And I think all these designations have helped me. And I've been trying to identify what is my relationship with God through being sanctified, through being a new creation, to being a child of God. What is my relationship with God? My relationship with God as being a priest is to make sure I understand my obedience first. Make sure that I'm doing things properly so that I am presented holy to him. The passage in Peter, 1 Peter, be holy for I am holy. Are we constantly keeping that in check? The Levitical priests had to do the same thing. They always had to make sure that they were holy before they went to God. Yes, sir, Brother McClinney.
Well,
real simple. To become a priest under the new covenant, we must repent, confess, and be baptized, and live a Christian life all the days of our life.
And so to become a priest, they had to be cleansed and sanctified initially. And so for us as well as priests to be able to be designated and enter in, we have to do the same thing, don't we? We have to be able to be cleansed of our sin and be able to represent God in that new way. Yes, sir.
Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God, faith of the Son of God. So it's living a life faithful to God after we become a Christian, just to walk by faith, and not by sight, not by our own precepts.
That's right.
In Exodus 29, it shows a description there of what God was telling the high priest Aaron what to do to prepare for being a high priest. And it goes on to tell him to cleanse yourself first, and then put on the robe and the ephod and all the wrappings and things that he had to put on, right? So then as Christians, as priests in this new covenant, what does it say that we're supposed to do in Galatians 3? Put on Christ. We could spend a long time talking about how we put on Christ. But just like you said, we're a totally new person now. It's not me that is being represented now. Hopefully, I am putting on the image of Christ. I'm living in a way that I'm representing Christ in everything that I do. And I'm not only ministering to him through that, but I'm ministering to everyone as well.
We're cleansed with pure water. We're baptized through the water to put on Christ.
That's right.
That's right. So what are some other ways that we can minister to others? We talked about ministering in word by teaching the gospel. We've talked about just taking care of one another. But what are some other ways that we can really apply this to ourselves? How do we effectively minister to other people, and in turn minister to God?
Like maybe teaching or sure. Song leading might be by your example.
Perfect. And sometimes that makes the biggest impression on people is your example. Representing God in the right way, that sometimes that's what leads people to want to know why do you act that way? The priest lived a totally different life, didn't they, in the Old Testament? They lived a totally different life. They did things totally different than everyone else. And I think that goes back to us being designated as a special people, doesn't it? A royal priesthood. Do people recognize that we are special people? Do we act royal? Not in an arrogant way, not in a snobbish way, but in a way that helps people understand there's something different about them. Yes, ma'am.
On what he said... being an example, well, our example would be Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And who more perfect to try and emulate than Jesus?
So the priests were told to take direction from the high priest, weren't they? The high priest had to be the one that gave the instruction through Moses to the priest and then on to the people. And so what better example do we have than Christ, right? We can look to him for how do we need to act as priests and as Christians. There are so many things that I think we could look at Christ and his and as Chris has done lately, look at his compassion for the people. Look at the willingness that he had to give himself. Yes, sir.
To seek and save, and that is that still our responsibility?
Exactly.
If we don't take somebody with us, we're probably not doing what we need to be doing.
And I think that is as you mentioned, probably one of the most important things that we need to do as ministers, right? As priests, helping those people understand, just as they did in the Levitical priesthood, their job was to keep the relationship with God's people holy, right? I got to thinking a little bit as we were going over the class that Glenn did about being a child of God. I studied a lot for that class because I thought I was supposed to teach it. But I made the mistake and I didn't. But I got to thinking about where in the Old Testament do we find that we're referenced as children of God? How often do you find in the Old Testament about God being our Father? You don't. The relationship that God had with his people was just that. I will be your God and you will be my people. And so that's what the priests did. They ministered to the people as a whole, right? And the people as a whole, when they sinned, they were punished as a whole. And so God designated a certain tribe to be priest, and he had specific laws for them. But there was a change in that law, just as there was a change in a relationship with us and God. Jesus goes on in Matthew to begin talking about God our Father and us being children. Wait a minute, hold on. That's never been done before. Well, it has now. And so now we have the opportunity to have a different relationship with God as priest. Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Great minds think alike.
The idea of Romans chapter 12 is the scary part.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that we see that not only with the priest, we are to present ourselves, the idea of laying ourselves on an altar. But we can't do that if we're, as he says, conformed to this world. So our sacrifice has to be pure too. And that's the scary part of how we, when you add the idea of us being priests and sacrificing ourselves to God, that if that savor is going to be good, then we have to really look introspectively to make sure that we are the right type of person. Like you said, the priest cleaned himself before that sacrifice.
And I think that to me was what hit home the most, is just as you mentioned that Romans passage. Our relationship with God is different than it was in the Old Testament. Now we don't have somebody going in between for us. Now we have Christ. But as priests, we're still giving those sacrifices. But it's a sacrifice for ourselves, not for anybody else. It's a sacrifice for ourselves. And we have to make sure that sacrifice is appropriate. It's obedient. It's clean and holy. It's done in a way that is going to be appropriate for God on a continual basis, because it's our relationship now is not, those are my people. And we'll take care of them and discipline them as needed. Now my relationship is with God through Christ. And so I have to make sure that everything is done appropriately. But as I do that, and my relationship with God is complete and it's done appropriately, hopefully that's where I'm ministering to others as well, in that same aspect, showing them how they can make their relationship with God right. Looks like we've got quite a few gathering back there. I appreciate all the good comments. Next week, I believe it's going to be a good one, sheep. So study up on sheep, and appreciate all your attention.